UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the podcast, wherever in the world you are listening from, far and wide. I hope you're all having a good week. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Jordan in Norfolk is going to be starting us off tonight with an encounter he had while on a late night walk. Then we leave the UK and make our way to Michigan in the United States to meet Jake and hear about his creepy and chilling paranormal encounters. Jordan up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Jordan. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Nick.
Thank you for coming on today, Jordan. Calling from Norwich in the United Kingdom.
I know. It's a sunny day. I'm a bit nervous as this is my first time really publicly speaking about my experience, but at the same time, I'm quite looking forward to it.
You're in safe hands here, Jordan. And you've got the sun, I've got the rain. Now, you have an experience to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, Jordan?
Yeah. So around 2 years ago, I'd recently moved, and late that night, just to get out of the apartment I'd moved into, I went for a walk in some fields around the area I live in. And it's the area I live in is actually surrounded by fields. It's quite a nice, I think it's classed as a village, but it's quite a nice village. It's surrounded by fields and in the trees, and it was I was a bit taken back by it because I didn't think anyone would be around at that time, and the fields are pitch black, so I assumed it could be a light, but it was too powerful for anything I've ever seen battery operated, and I didn't hear a diesel generator, so I'm assuming whatever it was had its own power source. And then as I walked closer, I ended up hearing some noises, and the best way to describe those noises would probably be a bit like a conversation. They weren't the same noises being repeated, but it wasn't a language I've ever really heard. And I studied quite a lot of different countries, and I've never really heard any language like that. So I was a bit taken back and a bit wondering myself, like, oh God, what have I what have I got myself into here? And at the same time, I didn't really want to walk back. Something about it just kind of intrigued me to kind of just stand around and see what would happen and see if I could kind of work out what was going on purely out of interest. So I was quite scared and I was quite nervous about it, but that was purely because this is something that it was totally new to me. I don't know what language these people are speaking in, and it's late at night, so if anything happens, I'm waking up in a river in the morning. And then after a few minutes, I was just standing there. Well, it felt like a few minutes, but reality was it was probably about half an hour. I suddenly noticed the bright light just started to get brighter, and I started taking a few steps back at that point because I was wondering what it was. And then as quick as anything, and I watch fighter jets for fun, it just shot off into the distance, and I quickly pointed my light at it to see if I could make note of what it was. I mean, I know there's an air ambulance where I am, and I was kind of thinking maybe it was that, but there was no rotation of the propeller blades. I think that's the term they'd use, but there was no rotation. I didn't hear any waffing of any helicopter, and I was a bit taken back by it all. And I tried to shine my light at it, and then suddenly it just stopped and then started coming back towards me. And at that point, I ran away as quick as I could, purely out of fear at that moment in time. And to this day, I still wonder what it was. And then afterwards, when I got home, I started trying to Google what it could have been, and I'd actually found out quite a few people had seen something similar, and it was actually identified as a UFO by quite a few people. And I've always believed in aliens, and to this day I believe maybe it was aliens, and they were talking in what could be considered their own language. It was quite an overwhelming experience, if I'm honest. I haven't really told many people because the people that I have told have just laughed at it and said, oh yeah, well, come on, it clearly didn't happen, and kind of think I'm talking about it as a joke. So after that, I've kind of just kept it quiet and kind of been like, well, you know, this happened. And then when I found the podcast, I was a bit like, okay, so there are other people that have had similar experience. There are people out there who aren't going to laugh, who are going to take it seriously, which is how I ended up contacting you.
Well, you know, you can tell them clearly something happened because, you know, you wouldn't be here otherwise, would you?
Well, no, that's the thing. I mean, it's a bit like you hear accounts of this happening quite a lot, really. I mean, especially in recent years. I mean, researching it led me on to find out about the Rendlesham Forest UFO, where just a brief summary of it would be they approached a light in the forest and it turned out to be an alien craft, or at least what some consider to be an alien craft. The guy who found it considers it to be us from the future, but it wouldn't be the first time incidents like this have happened to people, and some of them are even like really well documented, like this one on the US Air Force Base in Suffolk. Everyone who was there that night knows about it. They all really certified men saying, look, this stuff happened, this stuff is real. So clearly there has to be something out there.
That's right. It was something that happened, and it's just out of the county for you, isn't it? You're in Norwich, and that was in Suffolk.
Yeah, it's only about a hour and 45, maybe 2 hour drive from me.
Yeah, it's a nice area. I went there many years ago.
I have been meaning to go to, I mean, I do want to go to Rendlesham Forest, but currently I keep hearing it's locked off, so I'm kind of trying to find out if there's any truth to that before I go. I don't want to go just to stand there and look at a fence. Kind of feel if I want to do that, I can just take a walk around my local area. Not sure what the neighbours would think.
Yeah, it's worth checking out, yeah, because they've got the trail, got a nice UFO trail you can follow, and follow the steps of the Air Force when they on those nights. Yeah, I think there's a Facebook page that you could probably check out and see if they're open or not.
I'll definitely have to look into that.
Now, the lights that you saw, you know, behind the trees, is that area a particularly dense woodland?
Not really. It's a bit hit and miss. I mean, there's light, there's thick lines of trees, but there's also a lot of open areas the other side of those. And it was actually quite interesting because the next day, there's a farmland opposite, and I heard about two sheep that died on that farmland. No one knows how, but that night two sheep died. That really made me a bit like, one, quite fearful, but also on the flip side of that, a bit, it reinstated that belief of maybe it was something not from this planet. I can't imagine many other reasons why people would do that.
And the light that you saw, you said it was glowing.
Yeah, it was a very powerful white light. If you imagine a bit like when you've got a car high beam on and probably about three or four times as bright as those with a slight reddish twinge to it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so the talking that you heard, did it sound like a conversation or was it purely one-sided?
When I was standing there listening to it, I heard multiple voices. I mean, that area, there's obviously always ducks around it. And like I said, there's sheep opposite it. So normally there's noises no matter what time you go down there. I've only recently gotten used to them myself to the point they don't make me jump. But this was definitely two different voices, definitely talking in a language I've never heard of. Wouldn't even know how to begin pronouncing half the words they were coming out with if they were even words, but it was definitely at least three different voices I heard.
Three different voices, okay. And you started to walk away. Now, did you see the light actually leave the trees?
I was stood there up until it left, and it kind of silently started lifting, and then just when it kind of cleared the trees is when it shot off, and when I was running away at that point, because at that point I was quite unsure of what I'd gotten myself into. And that's when I shined my lights at it, and it kind of just stopped. And at which point I pretty much turned back around and ran as fast as I could home, because it started coming slowly back towards me. And I was quite concerned about, okay, I don't know what this thing is. It could be an animal that's going to attack me. It could be anything. But ultimately, I've never seen anything like that before in my life. So I don't know what I'm about to be dealing with.
And then you turned and then you saw it shoot off?
Yeah, I looked back and it had just shot off. And within 2 or 3 seconds, you just could not see it anymore. That did give me a bit of a comfort feeling, knowing, okay, it's gone. But at the same time, it then hit me that actually it could move that far, so it could just as easily come back.
And after you saw this, did you go, you went straight home?
Yeah, I came back to my apartment, which was about 25, maybe 30 minutes away. I'd done it in 20 minutes running most of the way. Instantly got up my laptop and started Googling about bright light, anything I could think of that would bring up even a close result, because Google's gone very specific nowadays about what it shows you. I could get images of light bulbs, which wasn't very helpful. And then after that, eventually I managed to find the closest thing that was popping up to me was quite a few UFO stories. And there was one that kind of stood out particular about some girls who had a similar experience. They were in their car, they saw this light, they shined a light at it. It came back, and then they saw alien figures approaching the car, but they couldn't move and the car wouldn't move. And everything kind of led me, every search that really had a definitive answer that made any sense at all was UFOs.
And did you ever go back and visit the location?
Yeah, I walk that way quite regularly now, mainly because it stays on a really nice path near the river. And I have always kind of looked at where I stood and saw the big open area, always wondering what was actually there that night and what would I have seen or what would have happened if I had just gone that little bit further.
Yeah, you don't know what you might have disturbed.
That's definitely one of the most alarming things. It's a bit like, I do wonder what they were doing. Where I live, there's a local community Facebook group, and the next day there was the first person I told was actually the landowner who owns the sheep, because I saw a post up by him saying that last night people went into his farmland and killed two sheep. And I was a bit like, and they said, like, if you've seen anything, can you please contact me? So I was a bit like, well, I'll inbox him. Not like I really know what I can say to him. I mean, I saw a bright light and it shot off into the sky. Like, please believe me. And he was the first person I told, and his response was to then block me on Facebook and then proceed to then unblock me and then send me a message pretty much saying that I shouldn't be wasting his time. And it was a bit like, that really did knock my confidence. It was a bit like, okay, so you don't believe me, but I told you what I saw. Clearly don't like the answer. But to this day, they never found anyone responsible for it, which does lead me back to thinking that maybe, not going to say they were definitely aliens, because I don't know what they were, but there's another farm I know where there was loads of cattle mutations by what can only be described as UFOs. It kind of led me back to the UFO route, and I can't seem to find any option for what happened that night that doesn't take me back to the UFO route, because, I mean, I've always liked certainty in my life and knowing what's going on and knowing what I've seen and knowing what's going to happen. And that is one of those things where the only path I take does lead me to UFOs.
I mean, you know, if you hand this in, that light rise up from the trees and shoot off, you know, I probably would have said, you know, it could just been the local teenage Satanist, which, you know, we have a whole heap around here. And that would explain the cattle as well.
I did take a look at going down that path of Satanist, because I ended up Googling it, and I found out that very few of it kind of does match that. But even then, there was just, you said about it shooting off into the sky and everything, that just didn't add up to it. Everything about that night, I mean, I have taken apart the situation before and manipulated it and tried to miss out certain elements when I've been trying to find out what happened. And I've been like, okay, well, let's not try and find out what shot off. Let's see if I can just find out what this fight could have been. And that's what led me to, oh, okay. Okay, so it could have been Satanist. Okay, now can I find anything about Satanism like shooting off to the sky? No. Okay, so that option now has to go. Just to try and find as many theories as I could. And like I said, this is what brought me back to UFOs, because every theory I put into, no matter how much bits I tried to leave out of the search, when I added them in, it just went straight back to UFOs, or someone had a similar story with a UFO. I mean, I'll admit, up until that experience, I was on the fence, is probably the best way to put it. I didn't not believe in UFOs, but at the same time, I was a bit like, are they real though? I don't know. Do they actually happen? I don't know. Could there be something else out there? I don't know. But that really concreted the belief for me that we're not alone on this earth. And then the more I studied into UFO stories, because it did start sparking an interest of, well, let's hear about a few of these stories, see if any of them actually do sound like mine. I was a bit like, okay, so UFOs are real. And I probably saw a UFO that night.
Exactly. You had an experience and something strange happened.
Yeah. One takeaway from it that I always thought was quite amazing, throwing that turn away, was it does make me question. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact I can't go far from home now because my partner's about to give birth. But there has been a couple of times where I have been tempted to go for a walk down there and just take a chair and just sit down for a while and see if I see anything again. But I can't seem to find anyone who'd really want to go with me, because the only other people I've told are people I've suggested it to, so my friends, and they've all sat there and just been like, we're not really going to do that because it probably didn't happen. And I'm like, yeah, but if you come and see it, then you'll know for yourself, and then I can call you an idiot for not believing me. So yeah, no one really wants to.
Well, to be honest, you know, you probably ain't going to have time now, but good luck with the birth, because your hands are going to be full now, very full.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing, because I was speaking to my partner about it, and I was just like, well, you know, after you go for this scan, like, we can just go out and do it for a bit. And she was like, oh yeah, that'd be fine. I don't mind that. And then we go for the scan. They were like, right, the baby's grown a lot, so you might drop any moment. And I was like, well, I ain't carrying a hospital bag down there with us. They might keep it, and I ain't packing another one. And they was like, and she was just like, oh, well, I'm not going then. And I was like, well, I doubt they'd take it. I mean, what, unless they fancy wearing some nappies, which I doubt they would, I doubt anyone's going to steal it from us.
I'd probably wait until after the birth, and then a couple of months after, maybe.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I wouldn't go into that position with my partner anyway, purely on the basis of being that, well, with how far along she is. And, I mean, she knows about it, and she's probably the only person who hasn't laughed, but at the same time, she doesn't. She wants to believe that UFOs are out there, but she's a bit like me. She's on the fence about it.
Open-minded about it, but don't completely discount it. Yeah, it's the best way. And she didn't. Yeah. And she didn't laugh. That's a bonus as well. It's always good having a partner like that.
Yeah, that'd be, I was quite worried about telling her. I was a bit like, oh god, this is where we end up breaking up.
She thinks I'm crazy. Wonderful, Jordan. Good job. See, you weren't a bit nervous at all.
I tried not to be. I was a bit like sitting here going, okay, like, you can do this. With the bit you said about it not being live kind of took a lot of the edge off, because I was a bit like, okay, good, it's not live. So
live is a nightmare, because people just tend to fall apart a bit. Good luck with the birth.
Okay, thank you for having me, and I hope you take care, and I look forward to hearing the stuff when it comes out.
Jordan, I really appreciate you for coming on the show and sharing this for our listeners.
You're welcome. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a pleasure.
That's great, Jordan. Okay, keep in contact. All right, and you enjoy your evening.
Okay, you too. Take care of yourself.
You take care of yourself too, Jordan. Thank you.
Bye.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description, or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Hello, Jake, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me.
It is great to have you on today, calling from the state of Michigan.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on.
You are more than welcome. Now, Jake, you have some experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
That really happened, that stuck out to me. When I was about 17 or 18 years old, we moved from a city called Redford to a city called Farmington Hills. It was about 3 miles outside of Detroit. It was a really old house, really nice compared to what we were used to. And it was owned or built by this man named Dr. Halstead. And he used to practice out of his house. He was such a prominent doctor back in the day that they've even named a very busy road in our neighborhood after him, Halstead Road. And the house, I'm pretty sure, was haunted. There was nothing really significant or crazy or nothing malicious that seemed to be there. At the time, a friend of the family was living with us. He lived with us for maybe about 5 or 6 years. and this is a year after high school. And I worked at a nightclub at the time, and we would get off at like 2:45, 3 in the morning, and he worked at a bar also. So sometimes we would end up finding ourselves, you know, pulling up at home at about, you know, 3 in the morning together, and we'd be very quiet, and we'd go in and eat some food and talk, you know, under our breath, not to wake up the rest of the family. One night we were doing this, and out of nowhere in the basement, it sounded like somebody took a huge piece of furniture and slammed it up against the concrete wall of the basement. And we both looked at each other. And then moments later, there was a spring-loaded door in the basement that it sounded like somebody not only just opened and let shut, but it sounded like they opened it and slammed it as hard as they could. And we just were standing there stunned. We weren't sure what to do. And I don't think we did much of anything that night. We were so freaked out. We just went upstairs. And the next day we were poking around in the basement trying to figure out what it was. And nothing really seemed out of place. So him and I, he was my best friend in high school. And we shared that room of mine. And one night when I wasn't there, we had these bunk beds, crappy, flimsy little aluminum bunk bed or metal or whatever it was. It wasn't very strong. And he was sleeping in there. He was always on the top bunk. And he said he woke up one day and it felt like it was rocking. I wasn't there that day or that night. But yeah, he said that he was sleeping and he woke up to the thing rocking really slightly. And there were a few other things that happened. I remember, you know, sounding like people were coming up the stairs, and it was so late at night, I just couldn't understand who it could be. So I would fling the door open really quick and look, and nobody would be there. And I guess the pinnacle of what happened there, when I was 20 years old, it was about a week before I turned 21. So this is like 2006. I'm laying in bed. It's probably 3-4 in the morning. It's pitch black. Danny wasn't there. So there was nobody in the room. There's no animals in the room. I had the door locked. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't smoking. I'm laying down on my stomach towards the wall. And out of nowhere, I woke up to something as plain as day sitting on the edge of my bed. And again, this thing, the bottom bunk of it would turn into like a couch. You could flip it up. So it was extremely flimsy. I mean, like, it wasn't very well made. So as soon as I felt something sit on my bed, I jumped out of bed with my hands up, like in a fighting position, and I never saw anything. I never heard anything. I turned the lights on. I was like hyperventilating, scared the crap out of me. And it scared me so bad that even though I'm not a very religious person, I slept with a crucifix on my door, my grandpa's Bible under my pillow, all the lights on and the TV on. That's how much it scared me. And, you know, I was 20 years old. So, I mean, I wasn't like a little kid. And then, that was about a week before my 21st birthday. And then 3 or 4 days go by. So now it's only 2 or 3 days before my 21st birthday. And, same exact scenario. Door was locked. It was impossible for anybody to get in my room. Danny wasn't home. No animals, wasn't drinking, wasn't smoking. This time it's like 7 or 8 in the morning. So it's broad daylight. I could see everything in my room. And it was the same thing. I was sleeping on my stomach facing the wall. And something plain as day sat at the edge of my bed. And this time I woke up, I opened my eyes, but I couldn't move the rest of my body. I could just barely start to move my neck slightly and lift my head slightly off the bed, but that was it. And I'm not somebody who's ever experienced sleep paralysis before. I'm not even sure if that's what it was. It was almost like something was like taking my energy or something. I know that sounds ridiculous, but so it sat at the edge of my bed, and this didn't happen the previous time, but I could feel a hand slowly rest on my shoulder, like the palm and all 5 digits. And as soon as it did, I don't know if it like just shook me out of it or I was so scared that I was able to move again, but I jumped up. Well, I whipped my head around first. I could see the weight come off the bed. I never saw an apparition. I never heard any voice. And I jumped out of bed. But yeah, that was far and away the creepiest thing that ever happened to me at that house. In fact, there's a journal that I keep. Anytime something strange happens in my life, I'll write a percentage next to it, like on how much I believe whether or not it did happen. And that's one of very few things I ever wrote 100%. So fast forward to 2 years later, I'm about 23, and I'm in Kentucky where my family lives in the Appalachian Mountains. And we were at my grandma's house. And at the time, my cousin and his two kids were living with my grandma. And it was late at night and we're all just kind of talking and visiting. And my sister, Tasha, called me in the room. And she's like, she said, you should talk to Justin and see. He said that he had something really strange happen. I was like, okay. And I was like, Tosh wanted me to ask you about something that strange that happened. He's like, yeah. He's like, a couple nights ago or a couple months ago. I can't remember. This has been, you know, this is like 15 years ago. But he said he was sleeping in my grandma's house. And he said, I thought one of the kids got in bed with me. And I put my arm over to make sure that they had the blanket on them, and there was nobody there. And I thought my sisters, like my family, had conspired with him to like trick me or something, so I was really defensive. And I was like, are you messing with me? And he's like, no, like he just didn't get what was going on. I was like, you know, I was kind of pissed that they were, that's what I sincerely thought they were doing. And he's like, no, I swear to God. He's like, go ask grandma. Grandma said that something sits on the edge of her bed. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, Are you serious? And he's like, I swear to God. So I talked to my father first. I was like, is it okay if I ask grandma this? Because Justin's telling me that he had something sit on his bed. And now he's telling me that grandma has it happen to her. And so, yeah, that's fine. So my grandma was already in bed. She wasn't sleeping. She would kind of have a routine where she'd lay in bed and just kind of unwind for like an hour before she'd actually go to sleep. And I went and talk to her, and she's like, yeah, she's like, that's your grandpa. She's like, he'll sit at the edge of my bed all the time, and I ask him to lay down and he never will. So obviously after that conversation, I was, you know, that was the house that he passed away in. I was all but sure that spirit when I was 20 years old, right before I turned 21, was the spirit of my grandfather. After that, I mean, everything that had ever happened to me had always seemed like ghostly or kind of paranormal. There were a few other things that were really hard for me to explain. One of them happened in 2015. So I guess it'd be somewhat of a premonition, which is really strange. Really, it's the only time I've ever experienced anything like this in my life. But I own a small tree service. And one of my best friends in the world, this guy, Kevin, he's an amazing climber. He's really safe. We've been doing all sorts of tree work together for a little over 10 years. And it was one of the biggest jobs we had ever sold. It was a really weird contract that we drew up, but I had to have four guys on at all times for 10-hour days for 6 days. It was a really big job. Long story short, I mean, this is like May, and May in Michigan is not hot. I mean, very rarely is it hot, but we had just finished up a big lunch, so we were well fed. We had plenty of water in us, Gatorade. And I'm walking roadside with two other guys, and Kevin's kind of off on his own. And I have a chainsaw in my left hand and a big gas and oil can in the other. And I have my helmet on with the earmuffs, you know, because we got a big chipper running, and we're trying to pick out which trees roadside need to come down. And out of nowhere, I start to lose my legs, or at least that's how I describe it. Like if you've ever seen a boxing match where somebody gets popped in the jaw and their legs start to buckle, that's what was happening to me. And I've never had that happen in my life, really. I mean, maybe with like extreme dehydration, you could start to feel your legs buckle. But again, I mean, this was May, we just had lunch and plenty of water and Gatorade, so there was no reason for this to be happening. And I had an extreme like pain in my right leg and my equilibrium was off. And walking roadside with these two guys behind me, I set all the stuff down. I just kind of sat down for maybe like 30, 45 seconds. And they're like, what's going on? I was like, I don't know. I just feel weird. And there was really no explanation for it whatsoever. Stuff like that never happens to me. And I picked the stuff back up and kind of shook it off. And we're walking closer and closer towards the chipper. And out of nowhere, one of the guys runs up behind me and he's grabbing the back of my shirt, like really aggressively, and yanking on me and yelling. And I'm like, what? Like, what's going on? And I can barely hear him. You know, it's really loud. And he's screaming, Kevin's down, Kevin's down. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, did he fall out of a tree? Like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know. I can just hear him screaming. I'm like, okay. So we went sprinting off. We finally found him, and he had put a chainsaw into his right thigh. And the craziest thing about that is when I was losing my legs, that had to be the exact moment that he had put that chainsaw into his thigh. I mean, there's just really no other explanation for it. Nothing like that's ever happened to me in my life, you know. So that was definitely kind of like a one-off as far as like premonitions go. I don't think I've ever really experienced anything else like that, but I think because we're so close, maybe there is some sort of I'm not sure how to describe it, knowing, or I don't know. It was really odd. And then right around about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, things kind of started to change a bit. They didn't really feel like paranormal anymore. So about a year ago, I fell into a pretty deep depression, and I tried therapy for a while, and therapy really wasn't helping me. And so I started trying to meditate, and I wasn't really, really deep into it. And I don't even know that I was doing it correctly, but one morning, it was a Sunday morning, and I woke up before my wife had, and she was just laying next to me asleep. And I was just, I don't want to say praying, I guess I was meditating or just calling out to something, to anything. I was so desperate, and I was just trying to find purpose in my life during that time. And in my head, I was saying, you know, who am I? Why am I here? Stuff like that. And then as soon as I, you know, what is my purpose? But as soon as I got around to who am I, in my head, I know this sounds silly, but in my head, in a voice that wasn't my own, I heard the word Adomi. And for the longest time, I thought it was A-D-O-M-I. So I wrote it down. It freaked me out. I haven't meditated since that day. But when I was searching A-D-O-M-I, I don't know, it sounded Spanish to me. And nothing pulled up whatsoever. And another couple weeks went by, and I just convinced myself that I was like going crazy or putting false memories into my head. So one day I thought, well, what if it's A-D-O-M-E? So I typed that in. And apparently it's Adomi is a singular form of the Edomites. And the Edomites were these people who were kicked out of Jerusalem for worshiping a false god. So I don't know if there's anything there. I don't know if that was like the percentage I wrote next to that was like 65, because it almost seems like impossible for me to have. I just don't know how I came up with that word. I don't know any Egyptian words whatsoever. And I don't think that my mind could even come up with, you know, such a strange word like that. So that was very odd. Right around that time, you know, I was still kind of in and out of that depression. So I mentioned earlier that I removed trees for a living. Long story short, there was we're renting this house, you know, in this lake community. You know, we're right on the water, and it's an association. And there's this big hickory tree last year that was towering over our house that had this really nasty cavity in it. And I evaluate tree health for a living. this thing was in bad shape and I wanted it gone. The thing is, it wasn't on our property. So I even approached the association and told them that I would do it for crazy cheap just to make sure that it wouldn't come down on our house. You know, it was directly over our bedroom, and more specifically, it was directly over our bed if it were to come down. And, you know, people die that way. So they refused to do it at the price that I wanted. So I basically had to keep going to these meetings and keep bugging them until they took care of it. And so that just was another thing that was added onto my depression. Anytime we had high winds or storms, I was constantly just laying in bed thinking about it and freaking out and stressing about it. And one night, I'm trying to fall asleep. It's really windy. It's really rainy. So obviously I'm worried about this tree coming down on my house. And this sounds really strange, and I've always had trouble describing it, but it's pitch black in the room, and my eyes were closed, but I was not sleeping whatsoever. And in my mind's eye, out of nowhere, I'm looking at like a gray white owl, and it's facing away from me. It's not looking at me at all. And it just took a couple moments for me to be looking at it. And then it turned its head, and it had big black almond shaped eyes. And as soon as it made eye contact with me, in my imagination, I know that sounds ridiculous, but I started saying the Lord's Prayer over and over in my head, and it just went away instantly. And that's something my wife taught me, because she's throughout her life, when she was young, she thought that she had stuff trying to communicate with her, and she has seen shadow figures. And more specifically, I'll tell you another thing that she saw, which really kind of woke me up. But I never told my wife about that, because I didn't even trust that it was real, and I didn't want to freak her out, because she already knew kind of where my mental state was during that time. I was just a mess, and I didn't want to tell her that, because I didn't want to make it even worse. So maybe, you know, less than a week goes by, 4 or 5 days later, it's a Saturday, we're having a couple of drinks, and she opens up to me, you know, because she knows that I'm into the subject, I've been researching it like crazy, and she tells me the story that she had never told me before. And it was about when she was like 7 years old, and they lived in Dearborn, Michigan. It's another city right outside of Detroit. It's obviously well before I ever knew her. And she said one night I was going upstairs to go to bed, and when I was passing the window, you know, on the second story, I saw a big owl. I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, and this is, I didn't tell her my thing, because not only did I not even believe it was real, but I didn't want to freak her out. And she's like, there was a big owl just staring at me through the second story window. I was like, what do you mean? Do you think it was perched on the outside of the house? She's like, no. I'm like, well, was it flapping its wings? Like, what do you mean? Like, how was it looking at you? She's like, I don't know. It was just there. So I didn't tell her my thing. I said, can you draw it for me? And she drew it. And she drew the eyes the same, though. Big and kind of slanted, like almonds. And so I told her mine. And I thought that would be the end of it. And maybe 2-3 weeks later, if that same exact scenario, it's high winds, it's raining, my wife's asleep, but I cannot sleep because I'm constantly just worried about this thing coming down. We were so freaked out about it that we were moving our beds to other sides of the room just in case it were to come down, it wouldn't hit us. And a couple nights we even slept downstairs. We were that freaked out about it, you know. And I hear the wind picking up. I hear the rain hitting the side of the house, and you can hear like small little branches coming down in these high wind storms. And it's like probably 3 in the morning, and I finally decided to go check it out. And I want to see how much the wind was swaying the tree. It just sounded really nasty. So on the way out of the back door, I grabbed this crappy little dollar store light. Wasn't anything fancy. It wasn't very strong. And I go out the back door, out my back fence, and I walk to the right because it's on the outside of my fence, you know, along the street. And the moment that I click the light on and I look up towards the tree, it looked like, I don't know that it was on top of my roof, but it certainly looked like it was perched on my roof, an owl that looked like it was 3.5-4 feet tall, flew from the peak of my roof over my bedroom into the hickory tree that I was worried about. And out loud to myself, I said, what the, you know, and I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I didn't have the light on it directly to where all I saw was the silhouette. I didn't see like the white underbelly, but you know, my family are bird watchers. I know exactly every single bird that's over 3 feet tall in this neighborhood, blue herrings and sandhill cranes. It was much larger. I mean, it was an owl. And the crazy thing is we don't see owls in our neighborhood. Sometimes on hikes, you know, like 10 miles from our house, way deep back in the thick of the woods, I'll see them. But you never see owls in our neighborhood. You never hear them either. And that really freaked me out. And I was lucky enough to talk to Mike Cloland, you know, the owl guy, owls, UFOs and synchronicities guy. And he gave me a lot of great advice and kind of helped me realize how strange it was for that. You know, I knew my wife for like 11 years and I saw my thing. And then 4 days later, she tells me her experience when she's a kid. So that was really strange to me. The only other thing that really ever made me think that it could be something other than, you know, ghostly or paranormal, was this reoccurring dream that I had had a couple times. So we bought this really nice, mattress and bed frame. But during that time we were moving that thing around so much, you know, with the tree and, I ended up kind of breaking the leg off the bed frame. And for a couple months before I replaced it, we were sleeping with the mattress on the ground. And, one night out of nowhere, I woke up and what's really strange about this dream is we never sleep with any lights on upstairs and there, the hallway light upstairs flicked on and I'm laying with my arm around my wife's waist. That's just how we sleep. And, I woke up to the light on, which is never on. And then just the feeling of knowing that something was coming in. And I just grabbed her by her waist and pulled her off the side of the bed. And then I like black out. And that's a dream that I've had a couple times. But to put it in perspective, when I wrote a percentage down in the journal, I think I wrote 30%. It's just because, you know, it was in a dream state and I have no clue whether or not it's real. I've had a couple people ask me if they think I've ever been abducted, and I seriously don't think that I have. I almost wonder if I've just researched the subject so strongly that I'm starting to show up in my dream state. And, you know, I'm sure that there's a lot of people who are into the subject who have had the reoccurring dream of walking outside and seeing, you know, hundreds of ships in the sky or seeing a huge mothership. That's what I sincerely believe that was.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
And as far as a UFO, I've spent, like, I think my record was like 5 hours outside just staring up at the sky, you know, not even like at a bonfire, just leaned up against my vehicle with my head straight up, just looking. And you know, I've had nights where I've seen like 35, 40 satellites and I've seen meteors and asteroids and all sorts of cool stuff in the night sky. But I don't believe I've ever seen anything at night that could even possibly be a UFO. But there was one in broad daylight that I had trouble explaining. And thank God I got my wife to see it too, because I think had she not seen it, I don't think anybody would ever believe me. But it was a Sunday. I'm really into barbecue and I was barbecuing that day. And I finally got to the point where I could I didn't really have to babysit the fire anymore because I don't do, you know, like pellet grills or electric or propane. I do like whole log barbecue. So I finally got it to a point where I could kind of relax at least for like 5 or 10 minutes. And I went and sat on my back deck and I'm leaning back in the chair looking up at a perfectly blue sky. I mean, there wasn't a cloud in the sky and I had my arms back kind of like, you know, like in a resting position. And I just see a little speck of silver. It was reflecting light and it was impossibly high. I mean, it was ridiculously high. And I looked at it for like 5 seconds. And I finally realized, oh, I got to go get Heather. And I ran in the back door and I was like, hey, come out here. And it took her a minute to finally see it. I was like, do you see that? And she's like, no, it's like right here. She's like, oh, okay. And she's like, what is that? And I was like, I don't know. I have no clue. So it was reflecting light. It looked metallic and it was hovering perfectly still. It wasn't moving whatsoever. And it looked like it was directly over our house, which, you know, who knows? But like the thing is it wasn't moving slow. It wasn't moving fast. It wasn't moving left, right, up, down. It didn't look like it was moving at all. And it finally got to the point where it just kind of like dissipated. And the only thing that would really make sense, because I've thought a lot about it and I'm trying to think of what it could have been. You know, it wasn't a drone. It wasn't a plane. It wasn't a helicopter. It wasn't anything like that. The only thing that would make sense at all are, I'm not sure if they have them in the UK, but these dollar store balloons, sometimes they'll be like just silver. And, you know, if you're walking out of a store with a bunch of them and one gets loose, you know, that's the only thing that would make sense to me if that was really high and it just appeared to be not moving because it was, you know what I mean? But you think the wind would move it around a little bit, but, and yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much, everything that's ever really happened, up until now.
Good stuff, Jake. Interesting stuff. And yeah, those Mylon balloons, they are a nightmare. I get heaps of photographs. People send me in videos of those balloons. Usually, I seem to see, usually on a Saturday, I've seen them out here where people have had a party, a birthday party, and they come in different shapes and letters and numbers as well. So people release them from their garden, release them from their party, and you see them flying over. And of course, you know, people further down the road, they take a picture of something like that. It looks like something silver in the sky, but they usually are moving. You know, they don't stay in one place. So they do reflect light and they can be very shiny, very shiny looking. But like I said, they do move, so they should have moved off. And they shouldn't stay in one place directly over the house.
Yeah, like I was saying, I represented it just down to anything that I think that's even possibly. And I wrote like 20% for that, just because I can't be for sure. And it's the same when people ask me if I've ever seen one, I tell them most likely not.
Yeah, so my wife, she took a video of something. It was last week, this was. And there was actually two of them. And it was going above us for a good 30, 45 minutes. It was traveling above us. One was coming east and then the other one was going south. The one east was about half an hour over from us. And it would just stay completely still, just stay up in the sky. Definitely not a drone, definitely not a balloon. The one that was heading south was actually spotted about 50 miles south of here in Newport in Wales. It was turned up on a different group, the same thing. So yeah, I mean, obviously when you see something, you have to tick off what you don't think it is, you know, because obviously there's balloons up there. There are drones, there are aircraft, and, you know, you can be at a certain angle and you could catch a plane and it looked like something strange. And then it would move around slightly or the light would adjust and then it's evident what it is. And obviously there's heaps of satellites and stuff. So you've always got to tick everything off before you start going, it's aliens, you know, always, because that's just purely common sense. But once you've ticked all those boxes off and that's that small little area where you're left with, then you can say unexplained.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I've spent obviously way more time, I mean quadruple the time, just standing outside in the night sky and looking, and there's nothing that I've ever seen in the night sky that I sincerely believe could have been a UFO. There's been lights that come from certain angles from helicopters or airplanes that for a moment will make you believe that it possibly could be. But yeah, at the very least, stargazing's been a really good pastime for me in the last couple of years. So
Absolutely. You know, it helps you relax and clear your head. You know, you're out in nature, you're getting the fresh air, which is always good. And you will see some strange stuff. You know, you'll be watching something which looks like a satellite coming over. All of a sudden it stops and then heads in a different direction. Satellites, you know, Newton's law, they don't do that. They head in one direction. They're constantly falling towards Earth. But these go in different directions, you know, or you might catch a light and it will flash. Obviously, there's the iridium flare where you have it catches the line of sight from the sun after it has gone down, and then that causes it to flash. But you'll see things which flash multiple times, you know, not just the one time. But yeah, I mean, it's always good to look up and then get acquainted with planets and stars, and because people which aren't familiar with stuff that's up there will look up, see something bright or whatever, and then just obviously think it's, you know, aliens right away.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, so when you used to have a visit from your grandpa, because it's obviously, you know, obviously what it is, and it makes complete sense, you know, when family members do pass, you know, they're going to want to come and visit. So whereas before, you know, you were a little bit scared of whatever was sitting on your bed, and then speaking with your grandmother, and she said it was grandpa visits. So that's nice, isn't it? It's nice to hear. It makes you feel a little bit better.
Yeah, it really did. And I always thought it almost seemed like he made it a point to come right before I turned 21. You know what I mean? Like becoming a man, you know, that always stuck out to me. And, you know, at first I was confused, but when my cousin and my grandma told me that they had the exact same thing happen to them, it actually gave me a lot of comfort. You know, I'm not sure whether or not you believe in like spirit guides or, you know, just people who kind of look over you. But I've often wondered if he could possibly be one of the spirits that who are looking over me, you know, or possibly my family. I mean, it would seem to make sense.
Yeah, I sure do. And it's nice, you know, it is nice to know that there is still someone around keeping an eye. And I think, to be honest, when we pass, we will do the same thing to our family. Come back and visit when we can.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I certainly would, given the option, you know.
And, you know, the whole owl thing, it is interesting that your wife had also seen these when she was a child as well. So it's like a connection between you both.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be. It was just really odd to me that I had that happen. And then out of nowhere, she opened up and told me about that. It's really strange. I've not seen it since. Again, I've seen regular owls, you know, just like barn owls on hikes, you know, deep into the woods, but we've never seen them out here. And when I went out at night to check the condition of the tree when it was storming really, really bad, I mean, that thing had to have been at least 3.5 feet. I mean, it was humongous. And I can't say for sure that it was perched on my roof, but it was coming. It looked like it flew from the roof into the tree that I was worried about. And if not, I mean, it was flying from the direction of our house. It was very strange. I mean, they were only separated by 20 yards, if that, you know, so. And I haven't seen it since. I mean, we had the tree taken down, and nothing like that has happened really at all. In fact, nothing paranormal whatsoever has happened in a while, you know, in about a year, year and a half. So I don't know. That was really strange. It was really hard for me to try to make sense of that. It was almost like something was trying to warn me or wanted me to take it serious and have it taken care of. I don't know. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I just don't know why. I'd never envisioned anything like that before in my life. I'd never even thought of anything like that before. The thing I saw in my head, and then to see it not long after, you know, an owl fly into the tree that I'm concerned about. It was almost like something was trying to warn me or to take it serious. Or at least that's what it felt like. It was very strange, and it's never happened since. So
I mean, as you know, trees can get. They can get unstable, and they are heavy, and they can be dangerous. From the angle it was over your house, it could have probably have done some serious damage on your house if it had come down.
Yeah, like I said, I evaluate tree health for a living, and I mean, you can never say for certain exactly where a tree is going to fall, but a good way to get a good understanding of it is to put your back up against the trunk and look straight up into the canopy, and you can kind of judge where it would want to go if it were to come over, you know? And all of the weight was, I mean, it was like a line shot directly over our bed. So yeah, it was very strange. It almost felt as if something was trying to warn me. I know that sounds silly, but that's certainly what it felt like.
You know, owls are known as the messengers, aren't they? So yeah, they could have been looking out for you. You had a storm and that had come down and you guys were in bed, you know, that's some weight to come down your bedroom.
Yeah, I was fairly certain that at the very least it would hospitalize us, if not kill us, if it were to come down. And I mean, when we finally did get it taken down, because they wouldn't pay me to do it, they brought in another company, but it was just riddled with, I mean, it was hollow and rotted throughout the vast majority of it. So yeah, it very well could have came down.
An accident avoided there. So yeah, I mean, owl's good.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of positive symbolism behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Jake, you also dabble in podcasting, am I right?
Yeah, a couple months ago, I started a podcast called Aliens, UFOs, and Ghost Stories. And basically why I did it was because when I finally did start coming out and telling my close friends and my family about kind of what I was experiencing, it was met with laughter a lot of time. That really kind of hurt my feelings, you know? It really bothered me that these people that I love and care about and would go to when I do have problems, you know, and I very rarely do, that it would be met with laughter. So I started to get involved in Facebook communities and started talking to people and kind of would go about it that way. And it never anything I felt like I could talk to about with my therapist. So I started, you know, just a place where people could tell their stories without meeting judgment or laughter. And just a place where they could kind of get off their chest, kind of like what you're doing here. You know, I discovered your podcast 2 or 3 years ago and I've listened to every single episode. And there's a handful that I've listened to 2 or 3 times. So, I mean, you were a big part of the reason why I did it, really. And I just realized how much good you were doing and how many people you were helping and how much it helped me that I thought I could, you know, do something similar to help take the stigma away from people who experience things. And it's been a really positive thing so far.
That's good to hear. And, you know, like I always say, even if there was 100 podcasts like this, you know, you'd never get everyone on to share their account. So the more the merrier. To our listeners, if you want a bit of a change, if you've listened to all these episodes on this one, go check out Jake's. It's Aliens, UFOs, and Ghost Stories. Now, Jake, you're on every platform, aren't you?
Yep, just about. I know that we're on, obviously, Apple, Spotify, and I think 4 or 5. There might be 2 or 3 that we're not, but just about everywhere, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. I'll pull the links down below, as podcasters always do, in the description, so it's easier for people to click and check it out. I've listened to a few, and it's fantastic. I love it.
Oh, thanks, Nick.
Because obviously I get tired of hearing myself in any case, so it's always good to listen to new ones. How many episodes have you got so far?
At least a dozen. It could be 13 or 14, But yeah, it's usually once a week is what we're doing. When I first started out, I had 2 podcasts and it was too much work. You know, cause I work, 5 days a week painting. I do real estate and I do tree removal on the days that I'm not painting and doing real estate. So I just bit off more than I could chew, but the one that I really cared about was Aliens, UFOs, and Ghost Stories. So yeah, there's gotta be at least, I would guess like 12 or 13 on there now. So.
Wonderful. Good stuff. Okay. We wish you the best of luck with that because it is tough work. But again, if it's a passion, it's not light work.
Yeah, it really has been the best hobby I've ever found. And it's making me feel a lot better. To be honest, it's helped me a lot more than therapy ever did. So,
yeah, you're absolutely right. And it is. I mean, personally, I love listening to people's accounts in any case. You know, I'm a real sitting around the campfire listening to ghost story type person. I love hearing people's accounts. Another thing I really enjoy about it is I like the accounts that have personality to them. You know, they have a story behind them, especially if it's set in like the 80s or the 60s or the 50s. You know, people, you know, the time that they talk about the music and the cars they were driving. You know what? You know, that's what I enjoy.
Yeah, you've been the biggest inspiration ever. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many people I've told about your podcast. And yeah, I don't hesitate. Like I told my sister, this is far and away the best podcast I've heard on the subject. And I've listened to, I mean, I've desperately tried it, like sincerely, like 30 or 40 different ones. And I think what you're doing is the coolest, is just letting people just tell their stories. And I mean, I think that's what people want to hear. That's the only thing I really want to hear. I mean, I won't name them by name, but I've tuned into other ones and they're just talking about theory or, you know, old rehashing the Benny Barty Hill story. Like, come on, like everybody already knows this stuff, you know, like, I don't know. I think people's accounts are the best.
I do. And that, to be honest, that is what people want to listen to. They do. And people love it, you know, from all different walks of life. And even if someone hasn't had an experience, they're still interested, you know, and they are. And people do enjoy listening to them.
Well, I really appreciate it, Nick. It was really awesome to meet you. I feel like I'm kind of meeting one of my idols, not to make it weird, but you know what I mean? I just really look up to you and your work. So
no worries, man. But, you know, just a normal person, you know, just a normal, just like you, man.
Well, it was really, really cool to meet you, and I'm so glad you're nice.
Jake, I really appreciate you coming on for sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, it was really great to talk to you. It was really great to meet you, and I appreciate all your advice, man. It's really kind of you.
No worries, man. No worries. All right, Take care of yourself, and I will talk to you soon.
Take care, Nick.
Okay, take care, brother.
See ya.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you've had an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Jordan and Jake for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe. And keep watching the skies. Goodbye.